roles that they do is place and resource and equip people to go in as RE teachers, CRE, Christian Religious Education teachers, in primary schools. And the legislation still stands that it's an opt-out policy for parents. So if they choose not to have their child in class, they can opt out. But, you know, the kids are in there and they have a fantastic time. I'm not sure if any of you remember your RE. But we have some great teachers in our church. We have Rosemary Tan and we have Lynn McDonald, who are both very well involved in this local area in a number of schools and do an amazing job. There's over 3,000, I think it is 3,000 teachers within, maybe even more actually. We'll watch a video in a sec. But it is a ministry along with Youth for Christ at a state level that we as a church feel is a good thing to sow into and support. And so we have a 5-minute video that we'd like you to watch right now, which will give you, if you're not aware, some information, but also present an opportunity on how you can support this vital ministry, which is kind of ties in pretty well with my little rant just a couple of seconds ago about the importance of us making a stand for having a Christian presence within our schools. So why don't we have a look at this and it'll explain more.
When children ask questions and they talk about what they're learning in my class, it's so exciting. My love for children and being able to share Christian beliefs and the stories from the Bible with them motivates me each week. I couldn't do this without the equipping and the curriculum resources we get through Access Ministries. My real hope is that all Victorian kids have the opportunity to be taught CRE and explore Christian beliefs and values for themselves. But I know that times have changed, and to maintain our CRE ministry in schools like mine across Victoria, we really need additional help.
The other kids in the class really enjoy it. They think that it's really interesting. I know that all of them, including me, have gained something, at least one thing out of it, like how to deal with people that God's there for you.
One of the privileges I have as CEO of Access Ministries is to work with our marvellous band of 3,200 volunteer Christian religious education teachers and their local churches and schools right across this state. This is a significant ministry and it's vital. It's vital that it grows and thrives both now and into the future. Children today are growing up very fast and they are being faced with significant pressures and decisions at an early age. CRE can help give them building blocks to develop values and make decisions with an understanding of God and the Bible's teachings. Our CRE teachers do wonderful work and impact the lives of thousands of children. We value them and continue to equip them as much as possible with our training, resources and support. However, covering the cost to maintain and grow our CRE ministry is now a critical challenge. We need partners who will support our CRE teachers and Access Ministries relationally, spiritually and financially. We are asking you to become a partner and stand in support of Access Ministries through your local CRE teacher. By doing this, we can continue and grow this vital ministry together.
It's such a privilege to work with our CRE volunteer teachers, their local churches, and the students and schools we serve. Last year, we taught CRE to more than 117,000 children in Victorian primary schools. That's thousands of children whose lives have been enriched at such a critical time in their development and thinking. Access Ministries works to resource, equip, and lead our volunteer CRE teachers who do this fantastic work. Providing CRE in schools requires a partnership between our CRE teachers, Access Ministries, and our local church communities. To strengthen and grow our CRE ministry, we urgently need your help. We need to raise $360 for each one of our CRE teachers every year. If three partners give $10 a month, this will raise the needed amount. We ask that you consider supporting with a regular monthly or quarterly payment, or possibly an annual donation. However, we don't want to limit your creativity, generosity and faith in finding ways to raise these funds. Through raising this amount of money for every CRE teacher, Access Ministries can continue to equip, support and resource our CRE teachers. It will also enable us to develop opportunities for serving more primary school students across Victoria. Please prayerfully consider our request for you to become a CRE partner. More information is available in our CRE partnership brochure. Our need for your financial support is critical. Your partnership can help enrich children's lives. Please support this ministry.
There we go. Who realised that Access Ministries did so much? Bit of a surprise. It is. It's a great ministry and one in which I believe in. I've been an RE teacher, and the kids, I'd like to say, had a great time with me, just like that kid at the start said. And how articulate was that little redheaded kid? Oh my God! I'm going, wow. He should preach. Just whoever he is, we've got to find that kid. We've got to recruit him early draft or something, and number one draft pick for the preaching circuit thing. Just, yeah. Sorry, we digress. But yes, we are talking about Access Ministries. And I just want to say Rosemary and Lynn have always sort of just come and kept me in the loop. They haven't come to ask for anything, actually, except to, for me, if I wanted to present this need that exists for Access Ministries. So the general manager that just mentioned, there is a flyer, a brochure that is available. We're going to have that available out at the coffee machine on the tables in the foyer for you to have a look at. And the ways, it's very self-explanatory as to how you can support Access Ministries. But as a church, we're looking at how we can monthly support. We currently support Youth for Christ $200 a month in the roles of chaplaincy within schools, secondary schools. And we're just looking at how we can allocate finance from our mission budget to Access Ministries as well, because it is something that we believe in so much. So if you would like more information as to how to become a teacher, Access Ministries will train you and equip you so that even if you feel like the lady that started off, I wasn't really sure on whether I can do it or not, Access Ministries will train you. And I'm sure Rosemary, who is over here, if you can just put your hand up, Rosemary, the wonderful Rosemary, was more than happy to chat. I'm just saying this on your behalf. He's more than happy to chat with you about it, but I know she would be. So, and otherwise, if not today, if not Rosemary, then Lynn McDonald is another one that you can talk to. If you don't know who they are, come and see me and I'll point you in the right direction. That's not a problem. But yes, I've been reminded that we need to have an opportunity to give this morning. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate being reminded. But we have an opportunity to give. So let's just prepare our tithes and offerings this morning as we give. And I'm just going to pray before we do that. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We've got, I guess in the natural sense, such a big week coming up this week where, Lord God, we're going to be going out, we're going to be serving local schools and giving into the local schools and into this community and in different ways over this week. But Lord God, just even that attempt to give and serve pales into insignificance to compared to what how you generously have given to us and how you care for us, not just financially, but just in areas of health, relationships, Lord God, in jobs, in friendship, Lord God, and opening opportunities for us in the list could go on. And so, Father, this morning we want to give back as a sign of our love and appreciation to you, a God who has, Father, given us all good things that we have, Lord, I believe come from you. And so, Father, we just want to give back and we ask your blessing upon this finance. May it be used wisely for the extension of your kingdom, Lord God, here in this local community as we're trying to do and in this state, the nation, Fiji, Malawi, the projects that are there. And Father, I just pray your blessing upon those that are giving and desire to give today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your giving. And it's exciting that we've had several responses of interest in coming to Fiji in the middle of July. And I don't want to put this guy on the spot, but if you want any questions about the project that we're partnering with the Catalyst organisation, if I can call it that, but which is an initiative by Rob Crome's company and some other partners within that, Rob is here today. And if you have any questions about the Fiji trip and what Catalyst is aiming to do, if you've missed out on that presentation, you can chat to Rob, who's up the back. Sorry, Rob, can you just put your hand up? Very handsome man up the back there, and he'll be more than happy. Well, we're going to hear the word this morning from, speaking of handsome men.
Good transition.
Thanks for putting those words in my mouth, Michael. It wasn't what I was going to say, but actually, Michael probably won't even mention this, but I think it's actually worth mentioning because it's just some prayer points for us. But this week, Holly had to undergo an operation for just an infection that she had under her arm, and so there's a whole wound thing that needs to be managed and cared for. So she's okay, but Michael's been Mr. Mum and Dad and caring for Holly. And then last night, there was a small incident that Michael had to get involved in, and so he didn't create it. He had to actually get in and sort it out. And I got a text at 5:30 this morning when he just got into bed after had to go to the hospital and etc. The details I won't go into, but probably got an hour's sleep. And throughout the week, I said, "Mate, do you want me to preach?" And then this morning, "Do you want me to preach?" And he said, "No." So if he vagues out this morning or kind of starts to mumble, I'll throw something at him, but you just can be patient and tolerant. But I only say that because I really want to honour him this morning. He's one of my best mates, and he has such a passion for the Lord and has an incredible work ethic. And so lives a very busy life and does fit God into their Moriarty somehow, but he does. I didn't mean to make Moriarty feel bad. He admitted he's not here. He's not here. He's teaching our youth. Yes. Future generations. Yes. Are going to be busy. All right. Moriarty also is a man that I love dearly, and he's got a great heart for Jesus. But getting back into my serious mode for a second, if I could. No, seriously, this guy has a passion for the Lord. And, when people say I'm tired or I've been busy, we kind of just go, really? And he's qualified to say really. But this morning I know he's got a word on his heart that we've been talking about this week. So I don't normally do this. Can we put our hands together for Michael, please?
Did you say all that to qualify the fact that you really don't know what I'm going to talk about tonight? And I did warn you I might be inappropriate. It has been a little bit of a mental week, but that's okay. It's Sunday. Holly, for those of you, like Phil said, she was not fantastic, but she's on the mend now, largely thanks to my amazing care and a little bit of the surgeons and hospitals and antibiotics and all sorts of things. But thank you for you guys for your prayers and support and texts and all that stuff. We really, really appreciate it. That's been very helpful, and we felt very loved and supported and stuff. So, yeah. Now, I just want to kind of wrap up. We've kind of finished our Why Not series, unless Phil and I come up with something really creative in the next 3 weeks. But we've pretty much wrapped that up, and I just wanted to tie it all together and kind of go, well, where do we go with that from now? Because it's really good to go, well, why not? We've done this series. Why not? Why not? Can't we believe that this will be the best year in all different areas of our life, whether that's family or finance or work or health or with relationships or in our spiritual journey or experiencing God's supernatural power. However that looks for you, we've been talking about why don't we have the faith this year that we will say, why not? Why can't this be the best year in our life in different areas up until this point? Not that this will be the best year, but up until this point in our life, why can't we experience more of God's blessing and favour and purpose and that in our life, why can't we find more success? Why can't we find more purpose, more direction? Why can't we experience more of God's grace and love and forgiveness and then be able to kind of flow that on to other people in our life? So we've been exploring that and looking at that, and I've been really challenged that there's a few limitations maybe for us on that, and a few things that we need to really look at for us practically moving forward if we are genuinely going to embrace that whole why not theme for our lives personally. As a church, we're certainly embracing it, and we're doing things we've never done before, and then we're doing things bigger and better than that we've tried. So that our big youth event, we're doing the parents' night, we've got, you know, we're into more than double the schools we were last year and stuff. So we're saying with that, we're saying why not, why can't this be an event that really has a significant impact, not just in this school, but in the schools of the community? Why can't it be an event, you know, that really puts this area and the churches in this area on the map? Because we begin to see, we're believing that through this event, people are going to come into connection with Christ, and through this event, kids are going to come and experience the hope and the love and the peace and the joy that we've experienced. That's what we're really believing for. And then the byproduct of that is that we'll begin to see a change in the statistics in this area. Maybe all of Melbourne won't change, but we're believing that this area, we're going to see some changes in those statistics. Everything from, you know, levels of drug use to teenage pregnancy to school dropouts to single parents, all of that kind of stuff. We're really believing that this area is going to experience a change, and one of the catalysts for that is God giving an opportunity to move in the schools and in the lives of kids when they're presented with the gospel message on a Friday night. So we're certainly approaching this event with that why not attitude. And for us as a church, we're approaching a whole bunch of things with that why not attitude, and we need to do that personally in our lives as well. So I was just kind of thinking that God will always respond to our prayers. He'll respond to our situation and our circumstances, but we need to do our bit too. Because our God isn't Santa. He's not just standing there waiting to dole out blessings for no particular reason. As much as that would be lovely sometimes, just to be able to sit on my couch and have God drop bags of cash and crunchies and Richmond premierships into my lap. I've done all I can for that one, can I just say? I've invested a lot of money, unwisely, time, effort and energy, and nothing, but God will prevail. But we need to act obediently with faithfulness. And we know that when we are obedient and when we are faithful, that gets God's attention. When we begin to take a stand and when we just move forward and we do our bit, then God does his bit. And there's a whole bunch of examples throughout the Word of God where we see a person of God taking the first step and then God responding to that act of faith. We see like Moses strikes the rock. He's got the people, all the people, millions of people out in the desert, and they're all going crazy because they think God's forgotten about them. And Moses takes this step and he strikes the rock, and then water begins to come out of the rock. And we see David goes into battle with Goliath. And David didn't just pray that Goliath would die and then Goliath self-combusted and David was the victor through prayer. David prays and he collects the stones and then he goes out and he fights the battle, and God directs his hand and directs that stone and he wins the battle. And I love that one because David just takes what he had and the skills that he had, even though in a worldly sense he was completely outgunned, and he takes what he had and he takes a step and God follows up with his faithfulness, and we see David get a great victory over Goliath. We see Peter step out of the boat and walk on water for a period of time. But I love that he actually gets out of the boat. He didn't just say, oh, I believe I could do that. He actually gets out of the boat and actions out that faith. So I really believe that if we want to have a why not year this year, we can't just sit on our hands and just wait for God to do it. I'd even argue it's not enough just to say that you believe it's going to be a why not year. And even further than that, I would say we can't even just pray and then sit and wait for God to make it a why not year. I believe we've got to action out our faith. I believe we've got to take our practical steps with what we have and then trust that God will do the rest. Benjamin Dirisley, who I have no idea who that is, he's a great man from the past. He achieved incredible things. He was very motivational. He said, The secret of success is consistency of purpose. Aristotle, I've heard of that one. Still a little vague on what he did, but, you know, I think he just said a lot of stuff. Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act or a characteristic, but a habit. So I really believe that God is calling us to operate with purpose and with consistency this year. And as we do that in the things of God, we'll experience a why not year in our life. I really like the story in Matthew 25. Phil, I got your Bible. Stop looking. It's okay. I found it. It's up here. This is the story of the parable of the talents that Jesus tells. And he says, again, it will be a lot like a man going on a journey who calls his servant and entrusts his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work, gaining 5 more. So also did the one who had 2 talents. He also gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5 and said, Master, you entrusted me with 5, and see, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the few things that you have, so I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will charge you with many. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is. This is what belongs to you. The master replied, You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money in the deposit with the bankers. At least then, when I returned, I would have gained it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who will be given, everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Throw the worthless servant into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The thing I like about that is that they're rewarded for taking what they have and putting it to work. And I think that there's a principle in that where we are called to take what we have and put it to work, and then God will do the rest. And so I was thinking about the fact that God's not in the business of giving handouts. He's looking for us to do what we can with what we have and then trust that he will do the rest. James 2 talks about how faith without works is dead, that they go hand in hand. And we're not having an argument about our salvation here, because our salvation comes not at all through our works, but purely through the grace of God. We can't earn our salvation. We can't go out and buy it. We can't do any number of good deeds to get it. It's given to us as this incredible, gracious gift from God. So this isn't an argument about salvation. This is a discussion saying that we need to take our faith and act it out. We need to operate with consistency. We need to operate with purpose. And when we do that, it gets God's attention, and we have the ability to experience a why not year in our life. I've been really challenged in my faith over the last year or so about my discipline and about my consistency. In the past, I have potentially either been an 11 out of 10 or trailing slightly less than that, just squandering like a fish out of water. And I'll be like flying out of control for, you know, a good period of time, and then kind of just, you know, maybe like, just drop off the radar slightly and then come back again. And, you know, and I've kind of operated, you know, like that. And that's not to say my love of God has ever dissipated, or, you know, but I'm talking about those things that we're called to do. My personal discipline in my faith and stuff has, you know, maybe like the rest of my life been a little like that. That just goes with my natural erratic personality to a degree. But I've been really challenged to to try and operate with some real consistency and some real discipline in those areas of my faith. And so when I've kind of done that, and I've been really diligent over the last 12 months, especially with like my reading and my praying, and they're the two things that God really, really challenged me on. And praying for me is still a real challenge. I pray consistently throughout the day, but for me to sit down and actually pray for a big chunk of time is just like trying to juggle jelly. It just doesn't work very well. And I understand that, you know, prayer is this incredible thing, and it's an opportunity to communicate with our Creator. But as I sit there trying to pray, I'm still wondering what's happening outside, and my feet are still fidgeting. And, you know, so I'm really working on that. And the other one is, for me, has been my consistency in reading the Word. And so over the last 12 months, have really worked at being consistent at that. And as some of the boys will know, Every day I try and read, and my goal has been to read just a chapter a day. Sometimes I read more, but to read a chapter a day and to read it with purpose. So I'm getting something out of it. And so I'm journaling something, and then to keep me accountable, I send out a text to some of the boys when I've finished doing it. And I know they don't always love getting those texts at 5:15 in the morning, but, you know, it's not my fault. Turn your phone off. I don't care. But for me, that's been part of my accountability. Richard sends me, every time I send him one before 6 a.m, he sends me an abusive one back. That's his cutoff. But that's been my goal, is to read that chapter a day and create that consistency and that stability in my life through God's Word. I've been using a system that I've kind of used on again, off again for years. It's a system called SOAP. Which I'll explain to you in a second. And I started randomly in 1 Thessalonians, I don't know why, and I read through the New Testament, and then I started at the start of the Old Testament, and I'm just about to finish Numbers. I read Leviticus, and I worked really, really hard to get something out of every chapter of Leviticus. At times, it was a bit of a stretch. At times, Troy had sent me a message back going, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I'd realise I didn't really either. But it was a real act of discipline for me to sit and read Leviticus and actually try and read it with purpose and go, "God, why is this in the Bible? What can I get out of this? What does this mean to my life today?" If you have that answer, let me know. But so I've been doing this thing called SOAP. If we want to stick up that first screen. So I don't know if you guys read the Bible with purpose. And if you don't, this is a really simple method. We're actually teaching this to the youth. Holly's kind of teaching it to the kids as well. And it's a really simple way to just read the Bible and read it with purpose. So there's just four components to it. First is a scripture. So I just write down, I read a chapter, and then I pick one verse out of it that stands out to me, and I just write it down, because I know when I write it down, I'm more likely to remember it. When I write it down, I believe it kind of helps write it in my heart and write it in my mind, and that's a really good process for me. The second part of that is observation. So why did it stand out to me? What was it that made me, you know, do that? Why did I pick that verse out? Then application. How does that apply to my life? So that verse stood out, and then I sit and I go, "God, how does that apply to my life? What does that look like for me today?" And then the next one is a prayer that's just relevant to the application, which is, "God, help me live out that application, or give me wisdom, or give me strength." So this is the one I did at about 4:45 this morning, so we'll just see what happens. If we go to the first screen. Okay, so Numbers 3:20, "A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do." So that's a scripture that stood out for me out of Numbers 30. So then I go, all right, so why did that stand out? So we go to observation, and I was just thinking that, like, vows and pledges and oaths and stuff to God kind of refer to donating something to God or part of oneself to God, and our word needs to be true. So we need to be really wise in what we promise to God and how we do that. And then the application of that is that I think it's easy to make pledges and oaths and promises to God when you're in a challenging time and desperate for his help. I don't know about you, but at times I've gone, you know, when you're in one of those situations and you go, "Oh God, if you can sort this out, honestly, I'll give you all of my money." Or God, I've had a couple of those kind of moments this week where I've gone, God, you can take my kidneys, I don't care, just sort this out, I need you, you know, help. And then, I know he can have both. He'll sort it out, Phil. He can do all things. But, you know, and you make those kind of rash promises at times because you're desperate to God for God to come through. So we need to remember when we do make those promises to God, we need to remember and follow through when the times are good, because sometimes it's easy to go, you know, God, I'm gonna really do this and this is how I'm going to change. And then God comes through and then it's all good again and you kind of just go, oh, well, it doesn't really matter so much now. Keeping my kidneys, by the way. So if we want God's ongoing blessing in our life, we need to follow through. And then the prayer part of that, the last one is, Lord, give me wisdom in the words I say and the strength to keep my word. So that's the process that I go through every single day when I read the Bible, where I pick out my chapter and I pick out the verse. And that process for me is my act of discipline and my act of consistency when it comes to reading the word. And I know that being disciplined with this has made a massive difference to my life. It's the most consistent I've been. It's the most consistent that my headspace has been, my attitudes have been. And I know that it's not just by chance that it feels like all these things kind of have come into alignment since I started every single day consistently with purpose reading the Word. It's not by chance. I know that, you know, as I feed myself good things, that's the byproduct of it. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, give attendance to reading. So focus on the Scriptures. Focus on God's Word. Psalm 119:11 says, His word is a lamp to our feet, so it provides guidance to us. Ephesians 6 talks about the armour of God, putting in the whole armour of God, that our battle isn't against flesh and blood, that our Bible is our spiritual sword. So in our spiritual battle, that's our offensive weapon. And I love the fact when you read through Matthew 4, when Satan comes to tempt Jesus, the thing that Jesus consistently comes back to him with is Scripture. You know, the importance of knowing Scripture in our life so that when we are under a time of attack, when we are in a time of challenge, that we can speak out those spiritual truths, that we can speak out that power that's in God's Word into situations, into the circumstances, into the temptation, because I know that it's not my words. I'm not strong enough to fight those battles, but God's Word is, because they're His words. 1 Peter 2:2 talks about the importance of spiritual food if we're to grow spiritually. So the Word of God is that spiritual food, you know, that our spiritual man or woman needs to grow. And the simple message, I guess, for me out of all of this as I was thinking is you shouldn't need to be bribed or have your arm twisted or convinced to pray or read. It should be a byproduct of your relationship with God. These are things that you should genuinely want to do in your relationship with God. So with the youth, Mulyadi and I, we just flat out bribe them. If they do their soap for the week, I give them lollies. If they do them a lot, I'll give them money. I don't care. I just want them to get into the habit of doing it. Because I know when they consistently do it, even if they start off doing it for the wrong reasons technically, I know that if they consistently do it, they will see the power that is in it and begin to do it for the right reasons. So they're all 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. So that's cool. They're, you know, in a spiritual sense, they're just kids. They shouldn't, we can bribe them. That's fine. I'm sure the Bible says it's okay. It was in Leviticus. For those of you who'd read it, you know what I'm talking about. It's in there somewhere. But that's okay. But for us, we shouldn't need to be convinced. We shouldn't need to be bribed. And I was thinking, would it make a difference if on a Sunday morning when we came into church, Phil was there with his checklist and you brought your soaps for the week, your Bible reading for the week, and he ticked them off. And if you'd done 6 out of 7 days, you got a $50 fuel card. Now, who... But would that change the amount you read your Bible? If you knew that every time you showed up and you'd done it, you got $50. It's probably best you don't answer that out loud. Because that would suggest your love of money is bigger than your love of God. So we won't even ask for hands up on that one. It's just a thought. And I guess a reminder that if we want it to be a why not year in our own lives, then we need to be disciplined in the things that God has already called us to do. Like that scripture says, he who can be trusted with a little can be trusted with much. So God's already given us a bunch of stuff that he has called us to do. And if we want to experience more of God, more of God's blessing, more of God's love, more of his favor, all of that kind of stuff, then we need to start being disciplined and obedient with the stuff that he has already given us and the stuff that he has already called us to do. So for me, that's reading. For me, that's praying. It's evangelizing. It's showing mercy. It's being generous. It's loving, not judging. All of that kind of stuff that we are all commanded to do, that we are all instructed to be obedient in, God, I reckon, would say to us, if you want it to be a why not year, then be consistent and diligent with that. And when I see that I can trust you with that, then I will bless you with more. The other one for me was prayer. And like I said, prayer's the one that, for me personally, I'm continuing to work on and to have those structured times of prayer as well as just praying consistently throughout the day. I've always really stuck to that scripture in Matthew 6:7 that says, when you pray, don't babble on and on, as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered by repeating their words again and again and again. I like the fact that God's into sometimes just short, straight to the point. We don't need to fluff around too much. But prayer's not this mysterious practice reserved for Phil and the spiritual giants. Prayer is just communicating with God. Prayer is just pouring out our heart to God. Prayer is sitting and just listening and waiting to see what God has to say to you. Because if you sit and if you wait and if you still your mind, God's got stuff to say. He's not stuck for words. He just wants an opportunity for you just to calm it all down, to give him some space, and he'll speak to you. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, don't be quick with your mouth, don't be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. So I would say that when it comes to prayer, sometimes it needs to be less talking and more listening. Be careful what you pray, it might just come true. You might just have that opportunity. You know, if you're going to pray, God, I just want to, you know, save the world, then God might just give you a chance to. One person at a time. So prayer's just communicating with God. It helps us draw closer to God, more intimate with him. In Zechariah 3:9 it says, I'll bring that group through the fire. I'll make them pure as gold and silver. They will call on my name and I will answer them and I will say, these are my people, and they will say, this is my God. I love that intimacy. One of the simplest reasons we should pray is because the Lord has instructed us to. It's an act of obedience. Matthew 26 says, keep alert and pray, otherwise temptation will overpower you, because although the spirit is willing enough, the body is weak. God wants us to pray together with other believers. Acts 1:14 says, they all joined together consistently in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with all his brothers, they joined together in prayer. So we're to pray together like we did before. We're to pray when we get together in our small groups. We're to pray when we need to with our accountability partners and those other people in our life that we can. God wants us to pray alone and in secret. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what he's done in secret will reward you. The bottom line is, again, that we shouldn't have to be convinced to pray. We shouldn't have to be bribed. We shouldn't have to have our arm twisted. We shouldn't have to be motivated to pray. It's an act of discipline. It's an act of just a growing, developing relationship. Holly talks to me even when she doesn't want to. Even when I'm annoying, she still talks to me. Because that's what you got to do in a relationship. So one, we should pray out of obedience. It's simple. The Bible says so. And two, you should do it because you actually want to. It should be some kind of desire within ourselves. If we're a Christian of some period of time, and if you're just new to the faith, then this is all part of the ongoing journey. But if you've been around church for a while, if you've ask God into your life for a while, if you've kind of been on that journey of being a Christian, then at some point, somewhere inside of you, you should have a desire to pray. You should have a desire to be connected with God, to be continually intimate with God, to be talking to Him and hearing from Him. Because it's through that act of prayer that we grow in our relationship with Him, that we hear His voice and His direction for our life. I like the quote that says, if you want to achieve something extraordinary, you have to keep doing the ordinary things exceptionally well. And I think that's just so foundational for our faith. You know, so we've got through a fair bit of the year already. January, February, March, April, May. We're 5 months in out of 12. You know, and we've spent the first kind of block of time talking about all these different areas in our life. Why not? Why can't this be the best year? Why can't this be the year that we experience the most that we have from God in different areas of our life? And I just really believe that God would say that when you do your bit, when you act with consistency, when you act with purpose, when you are faithful with the small things, when you are diligent with the things I have already called you to do, then I will be able to bless you. When you take those first steps, then I will come through. When you begin to act out in faith, when you pray and you take a step of faith, then God will provide. So we're going to close in prayer. And we're just going to have just a minute, just between you and God. And maybe in this space, God will challenge you like He did me a year ago about some areas. Maybe He'll bring something to your attention. But Lord, I just pray. That right now in this space, you would have freedom to speak to us. Someone who just desires, Lord, just to continually grow in my knowledge and my intimacy with you. If there are things in my life you need me to change, if there are areas that you need me to be more disciplined in, more consistent in, if there are ways I need to start acting out my faith, being faithful with the resources and the gifts and the talents that you've already given me, then Lord, I pray right now you would speak to me and you would speak to everyone here. I just really believe the Lord want some of you here to know that there's a difference between being tired and weary. And Phil and I often talk about this, and tired is a physical state. You've been busy, you haven't slept enough, you've got a lot on your plate, and you're physically tired, and that's okay. And then there's being weary, which, you know, we would say is almost a spiritual thing where you feel like you just, you know how you're going to get through the next day, and you, you're feeling completely overwhelmed all the time, and you're not really a lot of light at the end of the tunnel, and like Mulyadi said, maybe not a whole bunch of hope in there at times. And I just really want to encourage you that the Lord would say that when you live your life through His strength, although you might get tired, you don't get weary. When you create space and time for God, for His word and for prayer, and you get that good stuff in, that keeps that spiritual being inside of us strong. And if you're at a point in your life where you're feeling weary, then God would say, just go back to basics. Be diligent and disciplined with reading the word. Be diligent and disciplined with spending time with Him. And it will be in His strength that you'll be able to move forward. In His strength, you'll keep going. Lord, I just thank You for all that You do for us. I thank You, Lord God, for Your faithfulness, that You give us an ability to, through Your strength, have a great impact for Your kingdom. Just pray that we would all be so mindful and prayerful of this week coming up for Phil and Jemima and the team and Preston. And Lord God, I just want to just specifically pray for one more time for Thursday night, the parents' night that's in this room. I just really believe that we will see this room full. I just want to speak out in faith right now. Believe for an overwhelming response. The school would be amazed at the response. That Preston would be able to speak words of hope. Although the actual gospel message won't be mentioned specifically, he's going to speak words of hope and life and love and affirmation. And I pray that although it might not be taught, it would be caught. That those words and the spirit behind them as Preston speaks would really impart into the parents that are in this room. And for Friday night, Lord God, for life-changing encounters with You. We just speak life-changing encounters with You, Lord God, over those youth that are coming. We pray, Lord God, and we stand in the gap spiritually for them now, that we know you will be there, and we pray that their hearts would be open, their minds would be open, and that You would just rock their world, Lord God, with Your love, with Your freedom, with Your peace, with Your joy. We just pray that there will be hundreds of kids that go in that place spiritually in the darkness and leave in the light. Thank You for all that is in store this week, Lord God, in the life of this church and the life of the individuals that are here. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Michael. Let's put our hands together for Michael. Thanks, mate. That's great. You know, it's one of those things, you know, kind of like a sermon on prayer and reading your Bible. It's like, yet I think that if we actually apply what he just said, the difference that it'd make to our life and our community of believers with that level of consistency in prayer and in reading the word, it would be amazing. Just if we took a hold of that, we could almost preach that every week for the next month, just until we kind of all kind of get it and living it out consistently. And the same with personal evangelism or telling somebody or inviting them for next week. I'm just going to put your mind at ease. You don't have to pray, God, should I invite somebody next week? You don't have to pray that. I can give you the answer to that. God says, yes, you should, that we all need to do the work of an evangelist, and we all need to have those. And I'm the same as you. I invite people. They say they're going to come. They don't come. But the point is just put the opportunity out there. And so even if somebody says no, It happens, but what if they do say yes and they come and have that life-changing encounter with God? How cool is that, hey? So let's be praying about that and thinking about that. And just for all the young adults, if you're in that uni age, 20s and early 30-ish something, you guys are heading out to Jimmy Jam's in Elwood for dinner. And you can see Louise about that, who is out in the foyer doing hosting and going to do a wonderful job for what we're about to go and enjoy, which is just food and coffee. It's great to have you in church this morning. Hope to see you next week for Preston. Please pray this week. We need your prayers, and have a great week. God bless.